Biblical hope is what allows Christians to live at peace with God. Today on Daily in the Word, Dr. Paul Chappell shares with us how to have faith when others fear.
Moses gladly identified with the people of God because they were his redeemed. And so we need to make a conscious choice that we will not identify with the world. As Christians, we must put the Bible on top of every cultural norm. And we must let the Bible be our final authority. That's what made America a Christian nation.
The promises of the Bible and the person of Jesus Christ are more relevant and powerful than ever before. In our series, Reasons for Our Hope, your heart will be encouraged and your perspective renewed as you learn more about the hope Jesus Christ came to offer. Welcome to Daily in the Word. This program features the teaching and preaching of Dr. Paul Chappell, pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church and president of West Coast Baptist College in Lancaster, California. In today's message, you will be assured that no matter how hopeless your situation may seem, with Christ, there is always hope. And now, here's Pastor Paul Chappell with part two of a message called An Encouraging Family.
There ought to be a reverence or an awe for God, and you are God's representative in that family. And so there must be a warning that is given. There should be a reverence for God in that family. Now listen very carefully this morning. Strictness does not ruin children. Harshness ruins children, but not strictness. No child has ever been ruined by strict upbringing. It is a harsh spirit that may ruin a child. Don't let the devil sell you this line. Well, they were just in such a strict home and then they went off and sold their wild oats. Wait, it may not have been. Listen, it may not have been their strict Christian school. It may have been a daddy that yelled and screamed constantly. Or a mother that held similar feelings. Listen, it may have been a strict school, but I'm just saying it wasn't just the strictness or the rules. It's the spirit many times. And what I'm saying is give warning and be strict as you lay those things down that this is what we're going to do. Now, I'm not talking about being mean. I'm not saying, all right, there's the line, you cross it, you're dead. I'm not saying you have to threaten them. I'm just saying you let them know the boundary and you warn them that there's a consequence to coming over that boundary. And you keep that. Thirdly, set an example. Mom and dad, live the life before them. Paul said to Timothy, he said, when I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and in thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded it is in thee also. In other words, Timothy had a mama and a grandma who lived the life. I remember a friend I had when I was 10 years old. His name was Billy Blocker. I'll never forget the day that Billy snuck around a building and tried to smoke a cigarette. 10 years old. And it scared me to death. I couldn't believe it. He choked and about vomited, and he threw the filthy thing down and ran back, and he was playing with us later. But I remember his dad, looking back, his dad, always when he would smoke, Billy, don't ever smoke these nasty things. Whatever you do, don't smoke these nasty things, Billy. They're terrible. They'll make you cough. They'll get you sick. Don't smoke them. Billy's dad was saying, do what I say, not what I do. Mom and dad, we've got to set the example for our children. Set boundaries, give a warning, live the life. Number four, be wise to that which is good. Be wise to that which is good. Now, somewhere along the line, some Christian families have bought into the philosophy that kids just need to test out certain things. You know, you don't want to buy a car unless to test drive it. But the Bible says we are to be wise to that which is good, Romans 16, 19, and simple concerning evil. Listen, the fact of the matter is that some of you have read a few too many chapters of Dr. Spock, and you think that kids need to try some evil to know how bad it is. They don't need to try any of it to know how bad it is. They need to be very simple. One time a banker was asked, how do you help the tellers to know what the counterfeit money is? How will they ever tell the difference? And the banker said, it's very simple. All we ever let the teller handle is real currency. That way, when the counterfeit comes in, they immediately know what is counterfeit. Mom and dad, make your children wise to righteousness, to the word of God, the house of God, the hymns of the faith. And then when the evil comes along, they will very quickly know what evil is. Now, I heard of a grandmother one time was trying to help her boy to understand that girls were not all that bad. And he was talking to him about it, and she said, now, boys, don't be so mean to the girls. And finally, one little boy named Jake said to his little buddy, J.D., they were standing there at the playground, and a real pretty girl walked by. And Jake looked at J.D., and he said, when I stop hating girls, that's the one I'm going to stop hating first. Now, how many of you know they figure all that out on their own good time, right? And the fact of the matter is, we don't need to push the kids into experiments. We need to keep them very simple. To evil things. And then number five, teach the word of God. Teach the word of God. Deuteronomy 6:7, thou shalt teach them diligently to thy children. It talks about talking about it in the house and as you're walking in the way and when you're lying down and when you rise up, talk about the word of God. On the way to school, in the morning, when you go to work, fellas, early, kneeling and praying and saying a verse or speaking about God's word or having family devotions together. On the way to the shopping mall, talking about the things of the Lord. An encouraging family provides an atmosphere of protection where the children can come in and know it's a safe house. It's a place where they're not going to be bombarded with wickedness. And so an encouraging family is a protective family. Secondly, not only the protection of an encouraging family, I want you to see the provision of an encouraging family. The provision of an encouraging family. Now in the story before us, Jochebed in verse number 9 receives her own son back from Pharaoh's daughter. And the Bible says she took the child and she nursed it. Probably for 5 or 6 years, she nurtured Moses. Jochebed was a godly mother who provided for her son. The Bible says in 1 Timothy 5 and verse 8, but if any provide not for his own, especially for those of his own house, he has denied the faith and is worse than an infidel. Did you know, dads, the basic thing that you should be providing is the basic necessities, food and provision for your family. Now, I tell you, I know some people go through the harshness of divorce, and if you've been through that, we're for you. We want to help you. But if you're a single dad, I don't care the circumstance. If you fathered some children and you owe somebody out there some child support on a monthly basis, you ought to pay that child support. Every week we're helping single moms because some father doesn't pay his child support. Listen, the Bible says if any provide not for his own, especially of his own house, he's denied the faith and is worse than an infidel. So God wants us to provide the nurture and the care in the physical sense, but it's even more than that. Notice in your notes there, if you would, Ephesians 6:4. And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Now, the two things God wants us to provide for our families very quickly are nurture and admonition. I want to define them for you, and I want moms and dads to get this definition. First of all, the word nurture means discipline. And it's not talking about spanking or something like that. The word nurture is talking about the order and the disciplines of life. It's talking about making a bed, doing a chore, yes, sir, yes, ma'am. It's the nurture. It's the discipline of life. Listen, you find a young man who grows up in a home where he was nurtured. You put him on the first job next to a boy who grew up in a home where he did not learn how to do anything. And you're going to find the boy from a good, strong, nurturing home is a far better hire for Mr. Employer. Why? Because he was disciplined in his daily life. Now, this nurture needs to be, first of all, from a heart of love. I'm not talking about running a military boot camp in your home, all right? I'm not talking about playing taps at 4 o'clock in the morning, okay? But I am talking about having nurture and discipline from a heart of love. Your children need to know all through this nurturing that they are accepted and loved. Acceptance is the optimum environment for change. How many of you learned from a very early age that moms are much better nurturers than dads? Moms have a way of kind of being loving while they're telling you what to do. Dads are made differently. For example, I was thinking this past week, you know, when I was a kid and I'd fall off my bike and get all bloody and scratched up, I knew right away, you don't go tell dad about it. Dad, you're standing there, blood all over you. Dads sort of have this idea that that's a good thing. Way to go, son. Stop your crying. Be glad you got blood on you. It's a sign of a man right there. Look at all that blood. Way to go. That's how dads are. Moms, boy, they hug you and they wipe it all off and get the gravel out of your skin. And they know how to let you know how much they love you. A heart of love. Not only a heart of love, but this nurture, this discipline must come from a home of order. An orderly home. Now, notice 1 Timothy 5:14. I will therefore that the younger women marry, bear children, guide the house, give none occasion to the adversary to speak reproachfully. Please notice the three words, guide the house. Mom is to provide the daily order and discipline in guiding the house. Now, a husband provides spiritual leadership and direction, but the mom gives the order to the house. She helps to keep things organized. Boy, how I thank God for a godly wife who helps to keep us organized. How many men would readily admit our home would be mass chaos without my wife's help with that? Absolutely. Providing the order. Now, sometimes it's tough, and I know that, moms. One mom said recently as her kids were coming in and out and in and out, she said, you know, in the Indy 500 of life, moms are the pit stop. And sometimes that's what moms feel like, you know. You're the ones kids come to get refilled up and then to go back out. But this must be done in a home of order. Secondly, we see, first of all, nurture or discipline. Secondly, it says to bring them up in the admonition of the Lord. The word admonition means the teaching, the teaching. Somebody's got to teach them about God and His Word. And I say again, God's Word does not merely have 10 suggestions. God's Word has 10 commandments. God is calling on the family to be the central place of teaching. Philippians 4:9. I want you to look there in your notes. This is one of the best verses you'll ever find on Christian education. And every one of your homes should be a Christian school, and every one of you parents should be full-time ministers. All of us should be involved in the Christian education of our children. Philippians 4:9. All of us now, let's read it together. Ready, begin. Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you. So Paul says here, the things you learned, received, and heard, and saw in me, that's what I want you to do. And so we must be teaching our children. John Wesley once said, I have learned more about God from my mother than all the theologians of England. And mom, what a great influence you have. And dad, what a great opportunity to teach your children. So an encouraging home provides, first of all, protection. We set up some boundaries and we say, this kind of television's not coming in this home. Listen, moms and dads, there is a necessity for protection in this day. Did you know that the average PlayStation 2 game is wicked and raunchy to the core? You've got to really hunt to get a couple of sports games. My friend, it's time that some parents got involved in knowing what's on their children's computers and televisions. And I'm just simply saying, an encouraging home sets up some walls of protection for their family. Secondly, an encouraging home provides nurture and admonition. Thirdly, notice the purpose of an encouraging family. Now, I want you to turn to one more passage as we're finishing this morning. Turn over to Hebrews 11, please. Hebrews 11:24. Here we're going to see the result of Jochebed's early influence in Moses' life. Here we're going to see a man who had great purpose in his life. Hebrews 11:24. Sometimes we call this the hall of faith. This is where the great men and women of God are recorded. And Moses is spoken of. Hebrews 11:24. It says, by faith Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Now, wait a minute. Every young adult will make this decision. Will they identify with God's people or will they identify with Egypt's people? Verse 26. Esteeming the reproach of Christ greater than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. Now, notice the purpose in Moses' life. Three things. First, he purposed to identify with God's people. He purposed to identify with God's people. Moses, when he grew up in the years, said, I'm not going to identify with the Egyptian culture. I will not identify with their idolatry. I will not identify with their wickedness. I will identify with the people of God, the children of Israel. He was willing to identify. Listen, moms and dads, we need to be willing to identify with God's people. You say, well, they're not perfect. And I'd go to that church, but I know of some hypocrites in that church. Well, listen, come on and join us. One more hypocrite won't matter. Are you telling me that all the children of Israel were perfect? No, but they were God's called out assembly. And so Moses gladly identified with the people of God because they were his redeemed. And so we need to make a conscious choice that we will not identify with the world, its styles, cultures, and customs. Listen, some of you are from divergent cultural backgrounds. That's great. Really, it is. It's wonderful. That's what makes America great. But as Christians, we must put the Bible on top of every cultural norm. And we must let the Bible be our final authority. You see, that's what made America a Christian nation. Hebrews 10:25 says, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as we see the day approaching. In other words, don't forsake the assembling with God's people. And Moses made a choice. He said, I'm going to identify with God's people. Listen, young people, some of you juniors, seniors in high school, first, second year of college. Listen, as you start to grow and in making your own decisions, I want to challenge you, if you love the Lord and his people, then identify with his people. Don't be ashamed of your daddy's old Bible. Don't be ashamed of your mama's songbook. Don't be ashamed of the fact that your mama dresses modestly and your dad says amen in church. Don't be ashamed of their belief in God. Moses chose to identify with God's people. And oh, how we pray for young people today who will not shirk off the old time religion, but who will walk with God. Notice he identified with God's people. Notice secondly, he chose to separate from sin. Moses made this choice. Hey, how many moms and dads in here hope that your children make similar choices? I do. I want my kids to separate from sin. Hebrews 11:25, notice what it says. Choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. So Moses said, hey, I'm gonna side with God and his people. I can have the pleasures of sin for a season, but I'm going to do what is right. And what a blessing to see his purpose. And how many of you know that children are learning how to make these decisions at a very early age? They're learning their morals. A little boy recently was traveling with his mother, and they came up to the ticket counter of the airport, and he looked up at the salesman, and he said, I'm 2 years old. The salesman looked back somewhat suspiciously. He said, do you know what happens to little boys who lie? The little boy looked up and said, yep, they get to fly for half off. How many of you know our children learn these things at a very early age? Daniel 1:8 says, but Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's meat. Young people, let me challenge you to purpose in your heart that you'll not defile your body with illicit relationship. That you'll not defile your body with drugs and alcohol. Purpose in your heart to be like Moses, who identified with God's people. Hey, moms and dads, if we expect our children to do it, we need to purpose in our heart that we will walk with God. And don't come to a place where you start having an accommodating theology, accommodating your belief system for where your kids are. The Bible doesn't change. And you be strong and true even if your kids stray for a while. Notice Moses chose to identify with God's people. He chose to separate from sin. Notice thirdly, he chose to wait on God's reward. Now notice this in verse 26, Hebrews 11:26. Esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. Now, what does that mean, Pastor Chapel? Very quickly. Moses could have had all the treasure of Pharaoh. Moses could have had all the success of Egypt. He could have had all of it. But he chose to reject that and to wait on what is called the recompense of reward. He said, listen, God has something better for me down the road. Now, young people, let me challenge you. When you are tempted to premarital sex or fornication, let me challenge you to wait. Because if you will, down the road, God has something of a reward much better for you. And moms and dads, when you're tempted to step out of your commitments and when you're tempted to become unfaithful, whether in marriage or whether in some other way, let me encourage you. As Moses said, wait a minute, I can have sin for a season, but instead, I'm going to wait and let God reward me at the end. And Moses kept the end in his mind, and he never forgot that one day he would stand before a holy God, and one day all of us will. And what a great thing to be able to hear those words, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Now, those are the three characteristics of an encouraging family: a protective family, a providing family, giving nurture and admonition, and then a family, as we see here in Moses' life, that has purpose, willing to wait on God. Now, one final thing before we're done. If you want a family truly encouraged, a family that's positive about the things of God, a family encouraging one another, then there's one very important decision you as an individual must make. And that decision is that you will no longer be on the throne of your heart, but that you will repent of your sin and accept Jesus as your Savior. And that you will invite Jesus to come into your heart and save you from your sin. You see, moms and dads and boys and girls, here's the one commonality we all share. That is that all of us are sinners today. But no one ever wants Jesus to be their Savior until they realize that they're a sinner. Did you know that even those sweet little two-year-olds in the nursery over there this morning are sinners? Wicked, vile, terrible sinners? And the fact of the matter is, if you'd watch them, you'd find that those two-year-olds, they live by the property laws of a toddler. I mean, if you were to go over there right now and watch them with their tinker toys, this would be the law that they would live by, something like this. If I like it, it's mine. If it's in my hand, it's mine. If I can take it from you, it's mine. If I had it a little while ago, it's mine. If it's mine, it must never appear to be yours in any way. If I'm doing or building something, all the pieces are mine. If it looks just like mine, it's mine. If I saw it first, it's mine. If you are playing with something and you put it down, it automatically becomes mine. And if it's broken, it's yours. Now, that's the law of a two-year-old. And no one ever taught them that. Well, some of you wives say, well, my husband taught it. But anyways, they just tend to learn those things, don't they? Why? Because as I said a moment ago, we're all sinners. We're born with a bent on ourselves. And we all fall short of God's glory. And that's why when God became a man and came to this earth, the Lord Jesus Christ lived a perfectly sinless life. He was tempted in all points like we are, but he never sinned.
You've been listening to Daily in the Word with Dr. Paul Chappell, pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church and president of West Coast Baptist College in Lancaster, California. If you are interested in watching Pastor Chappell preach live during a Lancaster Baptist Church service, you can now log on to lbclive.tv Sunday mornings at 8:30 and 11, or Sunday evenings at 5 Pacific Standard Time. In life, there's nothing more important than knowing where you'll spend eternity. Some people believe that being a good person is their pass to get into heaven, or that this life is all there is. But nothing could be further from the truth. That's why Pastor Paul Chappell wants us to send you his newest book called Paid in Full, Your Debt, God's Payment, as a thanks when you support this ministry financially. Call us at 1-800-68-TODAY or go to dailyintheword.org to request this book for yourself or a loved one. We hope today's message has encouraged you. Dr. Chappell has served as the pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church for more than 30 years, and he is the author of many books. But most of all, he has a passion and love for you. If you've been helped through Dr. Chappell's ministry, he'd love to hear your story. Visit us on our website today, where you can listen to today's entire message, connect with us, and sign up for Pastor Chappell's Daily in the Word email devotional. Visit us at dailyintheword.org. And thank you for listening today. Be sure to join us next time as we continue to discover God's answers for today's challenges here on Daily in the Word.